Good morning, everyone. It certainly is good to be here today. It is such a beautiful day outside. And the thought came to me this morning, you know, I hear people thank God so much when it's a beautiful day, and they complain to God when it's a rainy day. It's the same God. He gives us all the weather. But you know, too, if we're a member of the Church of Christ, you can't be afraid of water. You can't be afraid. We don't believe in sprinkling. We don't believe in pouring. We believe in immersion. And it's been so long since I've heard anybody even talk about that. And that's not a lead-in to the lesson, but I'm not doing a series or a theme this month. I do want to get back into some plain, old-fashioned lessons to help bring us together as we work. I know everybody is working individually. I know everybody is praying individually. I just want to try to come up with some sermons to try to unite us and encourage us a little bit more. There's a lot that we have to do in the short time that we've got left here on this earth. Something right now, the beginning of the month, please, everybody, be praying for the welcome packets that went out, that honest hearts would see that information. When I dropped those off at the municipal building this week, and the lady at the desk said, you know, do you want to just leave them here? And I said, no, can I see Alex and talk to her? Because if you're talking about the church, you always want to talk with the person. And in the conversation, it came up, and she asked, are you interested in doing something with us this summer? And I said, sure. I said, I don't know about the farmer's market, definitely the sunflower market and their festival. And she said, well, this year, we're going to have a community night on Friday nights, the third Friday every month, May through September. It'll be at the park. They'll have different activities to go on to bring people there. She said, would you be interested in that? And I said, definitely. So it'll be a good place to set up a table. We can talk to people, a relaxed atmosphere. And when I left her the welcome packets, I also gave her another card, which I've given them to her before and given her DVDs. When I checked the Facebook page the next day, someone had liked the page that I didn't recognize the name. And I checked the name a little bit further, and it was the Secretary of the Chamber of Commerce. So information is getting out there. We're planting seeds all over the community. We need to be busy praying that God will give us an increase. If you're able this week, I would encourage you to go down to West Carrollton to help support them in their meeting. In the work, and I know you will have an enjoyable time there. So, the lesson this morning, for a few minutes, I want us to consider the greatest news that man has ever heard. What is the greatest news that you have ever heard? If you were in school, maybe it was that you were working on a project, a big project, and you got a good grade on it. Maybe if you're a young person, the greatest news you ever heard is you ask that person out and they said yes. Maybe it's like if you stop and think back, you men, the greatest news you ever heard was when you proposed to your wife and she said yes instead of no. Maybe it's a house you were trying to get. Maybe it was a job you were going to get. What if somebody came up and said, I've got $100,000 I would like to give you? Wouldn't that be great, the greatest news? Or what if you had a serious health issue and your doctor says, you're healed, you are made whole again, you are well? That would be great news. But friends, I would suggest to you all of those things are good things, but not the greatest news that you will ever hear. The greatest news that you will ever hear is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if I had asked Jim to pick out a song before the lesson, he couldn't have picked out a better one than the one that he did, Victory in Jesus. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Friends, that is the greatest news that man has ever heard. And this is a subject that is close to me, and it's hopefully to every one of us that have obeyed the gospel. So I want us to look at the greatest news man ever heard. We're going to have 4 points. I have them up here on the board. There's going to be a lot of sub-points under these points. But to begin with, let's consider that the greatest news is spoken of in different ways. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you who we preach to you." So here we see the gospel of God. Why is it called the gospel of God? Because that's where it originates. That's where it comes from. 1 Corinthians 2:9, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." You back up a couple verses to verse 7 in 1 Corinthians 2. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory." So it originates from God. We see God prepared it. God defined it. God ordained it. The gospel is revealed by God. And apart from revelation, we can know nothing. Well, also consider with this, one of the ways it is spoken of is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Code just read that in Mark 1:1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, why is it called the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because Christ is the substance of the gospel. Christ is what the gospel is all about. In Acts 8:5, when Philip went down to Samaria and preached, what did he preach? He preached Christ to them. He preached Christ. Christ is the substance of the gospel. And we know, too, that if we preach Christ, if we preach the gospel, we have to preach baptism. Because when the Ethiopian saw the water, he said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Doesn't say he preached baptism, but it's the necessary conclusion that if you preach Christ, you preach baptism. And friends, if a man is not preaching Christ, he is not preaching the gospel. And the denominations are full this morning of men standing up and speaking all kinds of religious gobbledygook, and they aren't preaching the old story of Christ. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." So it's explained as the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus, and it's also referred to as my gospel or our gospel. Romans 2:16, "When God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Paul there calls it my gospel. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he refers to it as our gospel. Why does he say my gospel or our gospel? He's talking about the proclaimers. We are the ones that proclaim it. So it originates with God. Christ is the substance, and we are the ones that proclaim it. Now let's consider this greatest news as it relates to man. And you stop and think about this. Man did not come up with the gospel. It had to be revealed by God. Apart from God, apart from His revelation, we would not know anything. But consider this. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it didn't come from man. I didn't receive it from man. It was through the revelation of Jesus Christ. A lot of times we use this verse, and rightfully so, to say that the gospel is certified. It's certified. What does that mean? It means it's tested, it's proven, it's true. We see certified in so many things. Years ago, I haven't seen it too much in the past, but you'd be out driving along through the country and you would see a field of corn and some seed company would have a sign and it would say certified. Certified. They were advertising that that corn was tested. It was proven. It was guaranteed. So we want our seed to be certified. If we plant seed, what if you were going on a trip in a jet? Would you want your pilot to be certified? What if the pilot was certified to fly a small aircraft but not a jet? Would you want to get on that plane and fly with a pilot that was not certified? And friends, why do we want to trust the eternity of our soul with a gospel that is not certified? But people do it every day. They do it every day. They will not look at what the revelation says. They will take what some man says. And friends, the gospel is certified, and we must demand a certified gospel. Well, something else as it relates to man. Man must believe the gospel. Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. We must believe the gospel. What do we believe? We believe that Jesus came, He lived, He died, He arose, and He ascended back into heaven. Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. You can't separate belief and baptism. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And that's saved from their past sins. Again, like we were talking about this morning, that's not unconditional salvation. You got your ticket punched to go to heaven. You've got your past taken care of, and you can start now living a life for Christ. Well, as it relates to men, we are a debtor to proclaim the gospel. Romans 1:14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. We're a debtor to preach it. You know, Paul preached the gospel everywhere that he could. In Romans chapter 15, he talked about the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He told the Corinthians, I've gone all the way to where you are to preach the gospel. We must proclaim it. As believers, we must proclaim it. So I've got a question. Did anybody come up to your door this week and you open up and they ask you, what must I do to be saved? People aren't going to do that. So what do we do? We're told to go. That's our job. We must proclaim it. And I have to just throw this in. So last week, Sunday evening, the lesson on courage and talking to people about sharing the gospel. I got a call from somebody here, and that person did that. And I was part of a Bible study last week, and that was one of the highlights of my week, sharing the gospel with somebody. And we studied probably, talked a couple of hours, and it seemed like a few minutes, and we're going to again this week. There are people out there that need to hear the gospel. We can't wait for them to come and knock on our door and say, will you tell me what's in the Bible? We have to initiate that process. And friends, one of the greatest needs in the church today is for us to do that, to go and to sound forth the gospel. It's the greatest story. It's the greatest news that we have ever heard. It's the greatest news. How do we know it's the greatest news? For so many reasons. But one of the other things that ties in with that as it relates to man, we must be willing to risk everything that we have on the gospel. It's so important. We must be willing to risk everything that we have. It might even cost us our very life. If you turn to Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, and beginning at verse 29. So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children's and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." There may be things that we have to give up that we would rather not give up, but if we do that for the sake of Christ and the gospel, we're going to be repaid 100-fold. We're going to be repaid. You know, I lost my mother when I was about 29. I've had so many mothers in the faith, Christian mothers. I've been repaid 100-fold. And brothers and sisters, we must be willing to risk anything, including our physical life, for the gospel. Jesus tells us that. He gave his life for us. And what do we give him? Do we just give him the crumbs? Well, as it relates to man, we must obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9. We know that Jesus is going to come back with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. What does that mean on those? Well, what does it mean in vengeance? He's going to come back in vengeance. That means he's going to show his justice. He has demonstrated his love to us this whole time that we've been alive. He's been demonstrating that to us every day. Now when he comes back in the clouds and flaming fire, he's going to demonstrate his justice to us. On those who do not know God, what does that mean? That means those that don't have a relationship with God. We need to have a relationship with God. He's going to come back taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And it's sad to say, but there are a lot of people that think that they have a chance to go to heaven. They think God owes it to them that they get to go to heaven, but they have not obeyed the gospel. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end be of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Friends, we've got to do everything that we can for us to make it to heaven. We've got to help each other. How can anybody think that they have a chance of making it to heaven if they don't obey the gospel? The gospel is the power in our life. But it's only going to be a power in our life if we hear it, if we believe it, if we obey it. if we live it, if we share it, and then it has a transforming power in our life. It takes us and changes us completely from what we were before to what Christ wants to be. Well, also with the gospel, we can hinder the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9, if others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. So the gospel, again, this story is a very precious story that everybody needs to hear. We don't want to do things that might hinder the gospel of Christ, that would mar it or not make it as effective as it is. A preacher explained it to me one time this way many years ago. He said, Bruce, he said, just think about an apple, like you have this beautiful red shiny apple and you have it in your hands, but your hands are full of sores and wounds and they're oozing and they're all smashed up. Is that apple going to be appealing to somebody? If I said, here, take a bite of this. And it would probably turn your stomach to see the hands the way they are. And that's what happens with the gospel sometimes. The gospel is the most beautiful, precious thing there is to offer. But if our lives are not right, people see our lives and they say, no thanks, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. So we don't want to hinder the gospel. Galatians 1, we learn that we can twist or distort the gospel. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And again, as he goes on, there really isn't a different gospel. But you talk to people in the world, believe whatever you want to. One doctrine is as good as another. But friends, the gospel, the certified gospel, the certified gospel that Christ came and died for, says that there is only one gospel. Well, with this gospel, what does it offer? What does it offer man? It offers us truth. And that's something you aren't going to find anywhere else. You can go across the street or to any of these other religious buildings in town. You aren't going to find the truth. Galatians 2:5, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Where else will you get the truth? It's only through the gospel, the truth, the reality, the certainty of it. There's facts. And friends, facts don't change with time. You know, back in the Garden of Eden, the beginning of time, 2 + 2 = 4. First century, 2 + 2 = 4. 2018, 2 + 2 = 4. The facts don't change. The gospel, the facts of the gospel do not change. Men try to change them. They try to make them more acceptable or pleasing or to get more people in. But the gospel, this great news, offers truth. And the good thing about truth is you can count on it because it's never going to change. Well, the gospel also offers hope. Colossians 1:23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So the gospel gives us hope. Well, what does it give us a hope of? It gives us a hope of immortality. It's a certain sure hope. And we sang the song, the faith and the will our anchor hold. You know, the only thing that can keep us from going to heaven, if we're a Christian and we have that faith, is if we let go of that anchor. If we let go of that anchor of faith, we are going to drift away, be swept under the waves, and be lost. But with the gospel, we have hope. Christ wants us to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to come on in, and I will give you a crown of life. If you have the gospel, you have hope. There's a lot of people in this world that don't have hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. But friends, as Christians, we have hope. Something else that the gospel offers is peace. Peace. Ephesians 6:15. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's a gospel of peace. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's this peace talking about? Here it's talking about, again, our relationship. We are not an enemy with God. We have been reconciled. We have been reunited, and now we are at peace. So we have the gospel of peace that was brought by the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace preached peace. He preached his gospel of peace, and it produces peace. The gospel is the only way that we can have true peace. Again, that originates from God. Ephesians 2:15 and 16, it talks about that reconciling both to God in one body through the cross, having put to death the enmity. The Jew and the Gentile were brought together in peace. And another peace that it gives us is peace in our soul. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ left peace for us. When we obey the gospel, when we are walking in the light, we can pillow our head at night and have a peace like nobody else in the world. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world round about us. Everything can be collapsing. We may not even wake up in the morning. But if we have been obedient to the gospel, we have that right relationship with God, and we have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, quickly, what's the greatest news must include? Just a couple points there. It must include the risen Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel must include the risen Christ. And there are some people out there that teach that Jesus was just a man. They teach any and everything other than what this gospel teaches here. And what is so special about the fact that Christ rose from the dead? There's many things. One of the things is it's proof that Jesus was the Son of God. But what did he tell us too? If it's an assurance, if Jesus rose from the dead, he is going to resurrect us. We are going to arise from the dead. And if we are in him, then we can live with him forever. The gospel includes salvation. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation, the greatest news you ever heard of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We looked at that in the class Wednesday evening. They heard, they trusted, they obeyed. What did they obey? The gospel of salvation. The greatest news man ever heard. Again, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto everyone for salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why would anybody be ashamed of the gospel? I just don't understand that. Why would they be ashamed? It's good news for every one of us. We can all rejoice if we obey it. Are you here and you haven't obeyed the gospel? You haven't been obedient to it, or you started in the past, but you've gotten off that path, you let go of that anchor? You need to grab hold again. You need to make your life right with God. God is waiting for you. We read about the rejoicing in the presence of angels. God doesn't want anyone to lose. He wants everybody to turn to Him. Won't you obey the gospel? Won't you do it today? You can come forward, give God your heart, and be obedient to the gospel this very hour. We ask you lovingly and kindly, please come now as we stand and sing.
For the voice of Jesus.